102.9 KPLX, the soul of the Bay, has been the heart and soul in the Bay Area for over 30 years. This is Listen Up Bay Area with your host, Armon.
Good morning, Bay Area, and welcome to Listen Up Bay Area. I'm your host, Armon. And for the next 15 minutes, I'll be speaking with Chris LaFranchi, founder and CEO of One Reef Worldwide Stewardship. How you doing, Chris?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, not a problem. So tell us a little bit about One Reef.
One Reef is a California-based nonprofit organization, a 501c3, and we're focused on creating sustainable solutions for the ocean.
Oh, that's wonderful. And as far as the ocean, it's vast and threatened by multiple human being activities. Tell us more about that. What are some of the solutions that you guys have?
Well, right now we're really focused on coral reefs, and that's no accident. Coral reefs are special in our minds because they support about 25% of all life we know of in the ocean, mm-hmm. and they provide direct benefits and services to about a half a billion people worldwide.
Wow. I know you have a website, onereef.org. What are some of the solutions you're providing as an organization in regards to the coral reefs?
Yeah, well, to cut to the chase, our solution involves working directly with local communities on the ground. Mm. And these are communities that either own reefs outright, they have ownership that's recognized by their governments, and in parts of the world where we work, like the Republic of Palau, the Federated States of Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands, or in lots of places, at the very least, their local communities that use these reefs have used them for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and their activities really determine the fate of these reefs over time.
And how much of the world's coral reefs have we lost, and what's the cause of the loss?
Great question. A little bit depressing. I think depending on how you measure and define things, we've seen a loss of about 50% of reefs that were more or less in a healthy and intact state about 50 years ago. So again, over the last five decades, we've lost about half the coral reefs on the planet.
Wow. I'm fascinated by the ocean. You know, the ocean is like 75% of the earth. But what's funny is so is the water in our body. It's 75% of our body makeup. So the connection that we have with the ocean is remarkable, and we should definitely take care of it. I was just actually in Sacramento not too long ago, and the main thing we were talking about was water, conserving water. And in regards to the reefs, what'll happen within the next 50 years, would you say, with the reefs?
In the next 50 years, let me just back up and say, again, what's causing problems on the reefs is really overfishing or overexploitation, just overharvesting on these reefs. Mm-hmm. It destroys the delicate ecological balance on them. And in combination with that, some reefs have been polluted by runoff from the land. And then this looming and growing threat from global climate change. Mm-hmm. These reefs evolved over hundreds of millions of years to live in a very stable climate. And so a small change in that climatic condition on reefs really disturbs them a lot, especially if you see sea surface temperatures rising. That causes massive coral bleaching. Many of you may have read about that on the Great Barrier Reef. Mm-hmm. And now the ocean is also becoming slightly more acidic, which causes problems for the reefs.
Chris, I have to tell you, it's sad, you know, that we're killing our own resources like this. How many different types of coral reefs are there?
Reefs are hyper-diverse, biologically speaking. Each acre of reef has at least 500 species in the places on the planet where we work. So they compete closely, if not sort of rise above the hyperdiversity of tropical rainforests.
What is the key challenge faced by coral reef conservationists?
Well, I would say one of the challenges, given the news in the last few years, documenting, for example, the huge impacts on the Great Barrier Reefs, is for people to understand that reefs have a great deal of inherent resilience and capacity to adapt to climate change, and they will also adapt, they will also recover from being overfished if they're carefully managed. So there is a solution. Reefs aren't doomed, despite what you see in the news.
Okay. You know, and as far as volunteers, is there any way people volunteer for something like this? Is it
those of us who work in California for One Reef? There are only a few of us, and we live in Santa Cruz and Sacramento and San Jose and San Francisco. Most of the effort by OneReef actually occurs in the region. We have an office in the Republic of Palau, and we direct most of our support to local organizations that are working directly with communities. And then we also work very closely with some scientists at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography who do a lot to help us understand what's happening on these reefs.
Okay, all right. And how long have you guys been in existence?
We started working on this, or I started working on it maybe 15 years ago. I had a perfectly good job, which I quit to launch a nonprofit. Wow. Very happy I did all that. And I just really have loved working with local communities.
Have you gone to any other continents as far as Asia, you know, Africa? Have you ventured out to those continents yet?
Yeah, it's another good question. So we started in Micronesia developing this model for partnering with communities, which we see is really the integral to the solution that we're developing. Mm-hmm. But I used to live and work in Indonesia, which has the most biologically diverse reefs on the planet. I really enjoyed working there. But when we started kind of crafting our strategy and building this model, we realized the best place to demonstrate it is actually in places like the Republic of Palau, where communities own the reefs, have this great intimate relationship with these coral reefs. It's part of their economy, their culture, and their heritage.
All right. And tell us more about the OneReef partnership model.
I think one of the big challenges is to let people know that coral reefs aren't all doomed. A lot of reefs have a great deal of inherent resilience to climate change. And if we simply stop overfishing and polluting them, they will begin to recover and they will adapt to the climate as it shifts. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that, and I would have been depressed reading all this news as well. But over the last 8 or 10 years, I've seen a lot of reefs and done a lot of expeditionary work with scientists. And I've seen reefs damaged and virtually destroyed. And then I've seen them recover in just an amazing transformation both in both directions. And I've also seen a great deal of a sort of increase in the effort by local communities to recognize how important these reefs are to them, the benefits that stream from these reefs to them. And they've really stepped up. I'm so impressed and inspired by what the communities have done to take responsibility for caring for these coral reefs, which really are kind of global treasures.
Yeah, absolutely. So where is the largest concentration of coral reefs on the planet?
Well, the largest single reef is the Great Barrier Reef, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. I think, actually, Indonesia itself as a country probably has more sort of square kilometers or acres of coral reef.
There's about 350,000 acres of coral reefs.
Yeah, that's how many acres of coral reefs we've been able to protect. Good. And we've been negotiating these partnerships with local communities. And what we're trying to do now is grow that and scale that up from 350,000 to 1 million acres.
Wow.
We identify that as kind of a breakout scale. So right now it costs us, and we look at this kind of as a business, if you will, it costs about $2 per acre per year to protect an acre of coral reef. $2, that's less than I spent for my last latte somewhere.
Right.
But as we scale it up, we expect that cost to go down. And ultimately, we're trying to build these portfolios of partnerships with communities to protect about 20% of the Pacific's coral reefs.
Mm-hmm. Name some of the species that depend on the reefs.
Well, what biologists call the keystone species, those are the species that are kind of like trees in a forest, those would be the reef-building species, the hard corals you see in the National Geographic photos. Those develop the infrastructure of the reef. If a reef is a city, they're kind of building things, bridges, skyscrapers. So those corals can be very beautiful. And, of course, all the multitude of colorful fish we all know.
Right.
Some of them eat algae. We call those herbivores. Some are carnivores, all the way up to sharks and manta rays. And even whales and some marine mammals frequent reefs and benefit from them.
I have Christopher LaFranchi, founder and CEO of OneReef Worldwide Stewardship. And if you want to reach them, you can go to www.onereef.org. Chris, I have to say, this is something that, folks just do not know about. I mean, they don't realize that the ocean is our greatest resource and we have to take care of it. And the reefs are like the foundation of it. I'm a geek when it comes to the ocean. I found out we know more about the universe than we do about our ocean. So, I mean, how large are these reefs as far as lengthwise?
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So coral reefs are these parts of the oceans where you have this super concentrated life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons they provide so many benefits to us.
Right.
Maybe that's one of the reasons they're so interesting to scuba dive on. For the most part, when people think of coral reefs, they're thinking of something less than 100 feet in depth. Mm-hmm. But as we've been able to explore deeper waters over the past several decades, we understand there are a lot of reefs that we can now call deep reefs that are many hundreds of feet below the surface. And then also seamounts in the deep ocean, which provide habitat for deep water, cold water reef species as well.
And tell us what happened in 2016. Great Barrier Reef died in the largest mass bleaching event on record. Can you go further into that?
So, as I mentioned, one of the greatest things stressing coral reefs is a shifting climate, especially when the sea surface temperature gets a little too warm and stays that way a little too long. A lot of the reef-building corals will bleach and die. And we've had a series of mass bleachings over the last 20 years or so. One of the biggest that was reported recently in 2016 occurred on the Great Barrier Reef. And we think it sort of resulted in the destruction of about a quarter to a third of that reef. But again, I want to point out that that's really the reef kind of speaking to us in a way. It's a stress response.
Yes.
It's responding to a changing environment. And those corals themselves are actually dying off, but creating an environment at which new corals that are adapted for this new condition can then begin to grow and flourish if there aren't too many other things stressing a reef. And I think it's really important for people to understand that it's a stress response. It's not kind of we see reefs being destroyed, because many reefs will recover. When I talk to scientists about the effects on coral reefs like mass bleaching, we kind of talk about it in the same way that a doctor would talk about people getting the flu in a population.
Yes.
And we try to explain it by saying, look, if you are going to get the flu, and we know a lot of people are going to get this flu, it's going around, if your health is compromised by a lot of other things, you're malnourished, you're underweight, you've got other illnesses, the chances you're going to survive that flu get smaller and smaller.
Right.
And
absolutely,
that's what's happening on coral reefs.
Wow.
So what we know works now is working with local communities to make sure reefs stay healthy, so that when they get hit by a bout of climate change flu, they're much more likely to recover from it.
Right. So tell us once again, what are the things, man-made things, that is actually harming the ocean and the reefs? Because when you say acidic, that's a serious stuff there. Acid is being developed and literally demolishing the coral reefs.
Yeah, these are such fascinating but complicated ecosystems. So the first problem is they're being overfished and overharvested. Reefs have a delicate balance of checks and balances, and when you remove too many of the fish, it can disturb that balance.
Wow.
Sometimes pollution introduces toxins into a reef. We've recently learned that all the microplastics are creating greater incidence of disease on reefs. So that's another stressor. And then, as I said, it's really all these days all about managing for new climate.
Right.
And that's warmer waters, and that's also waters that are becoming more acidic.
Wow.
But what's really fascinating, too, is we're finding in nooks and crannies of the world patches of reef that are living in conditions that look a lot like the climate we expect 10 or 50 years from now. It's hotter, it's more acidic, and common reef-building corals have somehow been able to adapt to those settings. So that's given us a lot of insight into what we think these reefs are going to do if we treat them well.
Right. Nature always finds a way, right? So once again, I have Christopher LaFranchi, founder and CEO of One Reef Worldwide Stewardship. If you want more information, you go to www.onereef.org. Christopher, you can tell us a little about your social media. Do you have a Instagram, Facebook?
I'm afraid woefully understaffed with social media. We tend to just focus on providing services to communities. We do have a Facebook page, One Reef Micronesia. You can find us there.
Okay, sounds good. And make sure you hashtag One Reef, definitely. So Christopher, I want to thank you so much for joining us. This is Armand with Listen Up Bay Area, and I want to thank my wonderful, wonderful producer, Carlos, and we will have this up on the website on Monday, I promise you. But until then, I want you to please, please pass on your passion. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for tuning in to Listen Up Bay Area with Armand. Make sure to listen next week We are 102.9 KBLX, the soul of the Bay.